And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 238. Welcome to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. I am Silas Lindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And together we are Black and a Half. And today we have a very special guest from the new film, The Final Play. We have
drum roll
from the new film, The Final Play. We have the lead actor and co-writer Jeremy Pargo. The film drops online on demand everywhere on May 27th. So check it out everywhere that you watch those digital things, that you buy those digital devices.
And I'm just going to jump in and say, he's delightful. We have such a great time. Check out the film.
Short and sweet. Jeremy is currently still a pro basketball player. He plays overseas internationally right now. And he's been in the NBA. He's been international, all over the place, lustrous history. And now he's becoming a filmmaker. And this new film, The Final Play, let me just give you the synopsis. A former pro basketball player embarks on a heartfelt and comedic journey to find love and fulfillment, discovering that winning in the game of life means facing his fears and making his ultimate final play. So that's a good one. It's a funny little film. Check it out. And this is our interview. And then we have a little discussion after about our thoughts and the motivations we got after this interview with him. So it's he's a segment of this, and he'll come up right after our intro music, right into that interview. And then we chat about it later. So enjoy. I think people ask, oh, do you think people will enjoy the interview? And I'll say, oh, easy. That's a slam dunk. Huh?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Right? Good thing he didn't hear you.
Yeah. Oh. Please send me your favorite basketball puns, and I will read them on the air nightly. All right. Folks, sit back, relax, open your heart, and open your ear holes, and listen to episode number 238. Interview with Jeremy Pargo from The Final Play. Well, it's great since it's an evolving show. So at one point, so now there's two halves, and it's good to have a black on to make it really represent. Jeremy Pargo, how many bad basketball jokes have been made while you're doing these interviews? Have that a lot of puns?
No, I haven't experienced it actually.
No,
it's been very film focused, and I truly appreciate it because it's very little basketball in a film.
That's awesome.
Well, I except it's about a basketball player.
Yeah, but it's only about three shots in the whole film, three basketball shots in the whole film.
Awesome. I mean, I feel so, I'm showing how much I know now by saying I didn't even realize there were bad basketball jokes. Like, I don't think I've ever heard anybody give like,
you haven't heard a pun?
Dad joke and stuff like that, but I didn't.
It can happen. Dad jokes.
Yeah, it can happen. It just doesn't happen very often. Okay. The worst basketball joke is when they tell you that they can beat you in a one-on-one. That's the worst one. It's, yeah, you have no chance.
Oh. Yeah, no.
How now you've been a player, you were a player for a very long time before mm-hmm. this transitioning into acting. Mm-hmm. Samantha and I are both actors, right? And we were just in case you're casting something, by the way. But anyway, we were wondering about the what's it like transitioning from basketball to acting? Is there like, mm-hmm. is there anything that you found similar? Like in the approach to it,
Like, we'd absolutely love to hear that. Yeah.
The approach is very similar. The work you put in, I guess you could say the late nights of reading and understanding what you had to give in these different moments on camera. And then it was a big scene, one of the first big scenes, and the way they structured it for us to film. Gerard, who plays Corey, was very instrumental. And you can't see him, obviously, he's sitting off camera, and he's pretty much coaching me. And he's like, he's yelling, "Go for it, go for it." So it's literally me bringing in competition to that moment. Like, I got really competitive in that moment. And it was a scene with Gia. And because Hazel was so great at what she did, I had to turn it into a competitive moment to be able to deliver what I needed to deliver.
Interesting. So yeah, like when you turn it into, I was also very excited about this too, because I know like Sias and I were like, okay, he's going to have like some things he brings in from his previous training. And I'm thinking it's going to be interesting to hear you say it in a way, you know, I've heard tons of different acting techniques, practiced tons of different ones, but everybody has their own spin on it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like,
sure.
You're like, okay, with your background, you're going to say it in a way I've never quite heard it before.
So I'll give you the exact moment.
Yeah.
I'll give you the exact moment. The whole I'm grooming him scene.
Okay.
So that whole back and forth, that was a competitive moment for me. It was like, she's killing this right now. Don't let her win. Don't let her win. She still won in the end. She still won. Yeah. She still beat me. But I tried to match her level of intensity, and it was just all off competition, just like competing right there.
And this is your first film, right?
Yes, sir. I did something very small for Gerard, who plays Corey, back in 2016.
You're very smooth in the film, though. Like, I would not have guessed that this was your first film. And I feel like I usually would notice, like, how do you have no experience? Like, you must have done some. Like, no. None? Not even like high school?
No. No, not at all. I didn't know that I was into actually being in front of the camera until I did that small thing for Gerard back in 2016, and I got an audition for it. I got an audition for Chicago PD based off what I did in there, but I was playing ball in China at the time, so I couldn't do the audition.
Okay.
And if I was in the States, I honestly don't think I would have done it anyway. I don't think I would have had the confidence to walk into a room an audition for something I've never done before.
Right.
So I said, I'm gonna write something myself, and we're gonna do it that way. Because this is what I want to be into after basketball for sure. Because I have I love to tell stories. I have more than I'm writing. I love to make people feel emotions. I love to make people have conversations. That's a lot of what this film was about. I hope you guys, after you saw it, had a lot of conversation about different dynamics of this film and men and women relationships alone.
Did you write this one?
I'm responsible for a lot of it, yes.
Yeah. Well, how much was, is it autobiographical or? Are you saying, it was that guy. It wasn't me, honey. It was that guy. That was the guy.
It's a piece of both. It's a piece of both. It's a little bit, that was him. That wasn't me. But it's also a piece of, I did that. Yeah. But, yeah, it was a lot of things I experienced, a lot of things I've seen other people experience, and the dynamic of people always thinking athletes just want a ton of women. When in hindsight, I'm not going to say all, but most of us want someone to share this lifestyle with and grow with and build a family with. And the ultimate goal is to be together forever.
And you said, sorry, at the beginning, you said most people think athletes just want what?
A bunch of women.
Oh, a bunch of women. Yeah. Well, I would say I've become naturally biased to think that's just how most men are. I wouldn't even say most athletes. I would just say most men.
I'll tell you right now, Sam.
Have more access.
I will not argue with you on that point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky I had some really amazing guy friends in high school, just wonderful humans. Otherwise, I would, and Silas is great too, you know, but otherwise, I would be like, I just don't believe it.
Yeah, I completely understand why.
But you think, you know, but in your experience, now I'm on a tangent because you're like, most people think that. But really, I mean, men are human, too. I mean,
absolutely.
People at their core still want to have that like deep connection. Or have you seen it's like, yeah, but sometimes it's like they're not till like 80 or 90 until they realize.
I've seen both. I've seen like one of my best friends is a coach in the league. His name is Brian Randall. I've seen him and his wife. They're like literally some of my best friends. They are the goal. They're the standard. And I've also seen the opposite. So it's very, very different dynamics in terms of want and desire. But I've seen serial daters, and they're still just looking for that companionship that we're all in search for. No matter if they're chasing a ton of women at one time or not, but they're still looking for that one thing that Braylon ultimately was looking for in that film.
Are you a romantic at heart?
I think I'm secretly a romantic, but I won't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone.
Oh, this is just going to get out to our millions of followers.
You might give it away with the film too. You know, people might be like, "Oh, that's you
are." I think I can kind of say that was him a little more often once the film is out.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, I want to make sure I get these in because there's always 7 questions we ask our first guest. Mm-hmm. The first time somebody comes on to our show, it's our world famous 7 questions. Okay. All right. So number one, what are you most nerdy about? And that doesn't mean it doesn't have to be sci-fi or fantasy, but what's the one thing that you are really into, you know a lot about that?
Probably Marvel's movies.
Oh, really?
Probably Marvel movies, yeah.
Okay.
Or Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. You got both of us.
I was about to say Harry Potter.
I've seen the Marvel ones, but like I'm Harry Potter, I know that way more.
So you kind of got to agree with me when people talk about Lord of the Rings, and I don't want to talk bad about no movies, but they're not Harry Potter's. Like Harry Potter's, like, oh my goodness,
yeah.
I mean, oh gosh, okay. I have to stop talking so much because I'm like, oh, we don't have you for like 5 hours. Because I remember back in like when the what was it in the 20. Or 2006 or something, when the trilogy came out, mm-hmm. like Lord Return of the King, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Okay. But that used to be my. If you are sick, I just sit. I watch all those movies, and then I feel mm-hmm. better. You have your soup. You watch all those movies. But now it's a lot of the times it's Harry Potter with that. Yeah.
That's Harry Potter's amazing. Yeah, I think that's what I'm the most nerdy about is Harry Potter. That I walk around saying spells randomly.
I love that.
It's our most powerful form of magic. Words are. Yeah.
And now, okay, if I see you playing basketball, when you're taking that jumper, I'm just going to imagine you're actually casting a spell.
Yeah, Wingardium Leviosa. Yes,
that's right. I love it.
Fantastic. Awesome. All right. Number 2, what's something that you love to eat?
Oh, good food or bad food?
I mean, what you love to eat?
I'm a French fry connoisseur.
You can
line up 10 different French fries from 10 different places. I can tell you where they are blindfolded. I can taste them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Any favorite standouts?
Yeah, McDonald's is the best.
Good. But like fries with some white truffle oil.
No, that's my brother. I'm leaving truffle to my brother. I don't like to spice up my fries. I like it. I like French fries. Just put a little salt in there and I'm good.
I love them both ways. McDonald's and the like gourmet truffle.
Truffles was last episode, Samantha. Okay.
I know.
We moved on past truffles.
Never right. Moving on.
All right. Number 3. What's something that you love to drink?
Something I love to drink. This is probably people tell me it's not good for me, but I like Crystal Light.
I used to drink that a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah,
that was like my grandma. Yeah, my family. It was new. It was before you had all the different flavor kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the only one you could get. Crystal Light.
I think that's why it's not.
Yeah, but that's kind of a myth. We can get into the biology about that. But
I don't know. Lots of things aren't good for you, though.
Yeah.
You leave something alone, they tell you that's bad for you. Now you got to switch to something else. So I've been on a water fast for the last almost 4 days now. So I had my first meal today, so I have a newfound respect for water.
How many days did you just say?
It's technically been like 90 hours. I just had my first, like I just had some fruit for the first time since Sunday night.
Oh my gosh.
Is that something you typically do just as a very healthy, like, or as a
this was that it's supposed to help you in a lot of different aspects. So I've been YouTubing a lot of things, researching, and I just said, you know, I'm gonna try to test myself to see how far I can go with it, and I made it through.
That you is did amazing. Just water, or did you do the cayenne and maple syrup?
No, I would do some electrolytes, and had a couple supplements for like energy and like vitamins and things. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah, I just had to. I had a procedure recently, and I had to not eat for 24 hours, and I was like, "This is too much." So you're killing me right now. Oh wow. Okay. Number four. What kind of music do you love?
I am really big on 90s R&B or R&B in general. Like it for me it's R&B, Afro beats, and then hip hop, then rap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any favorite songs that like stand out?
I'm a karaoke fan. I absolutely love karaoke. So any song, I'm a really big Bobby Brown fan. Probably can see with the hair right now.
Well, that is your prerogative. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. If I got to make a bad joke at some point.
No, that was great.
All right. Number five, what do you love to create?
Stories. Film. This is something for me that I love to create. I love to tell stories. I love to make people feel things. I love, like I said, I love to have people have conversations about what they're seeing on film or what they're experiencing in life, because I want it to be relatable to what they're doing. And I want them to open that door to their partner to have those conversations and build better relationships.
Number six, what's a game you love to play?
Ooh, a game I love to play. Are we talking like video game or?
However you want to interpret that.
Ooh.
You get bored, or video games are usually the two.
Yeah, I'm a game I love to play. I am, that's a tough one there, but I tell you a game I don't like because I always lose. It's called Buffalo. And my friends will know it once they see it. But yeah. It's not a game that is for the week.
The week, okay.
It's not a game that's for the
week. I'm just amazed you didn't go like the final one.
I wasn't gonna do that one. That would have been bad for me. That would have went bad.
You're gonna save that to but, for us to like.
But throw. No, but on top of that, I play my nephew who's 15 in college football pretty often, and I beat him pretty bad, and I let him know. Actually, I'll give you one. The pool game on the phone, the iMessage game, the pool game. I love to play that game. I destroy my nephew on a regular basis and my niece.
Pool? Like billiards kind of pool? Or
It's on the phone. It's iMessage games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It kills time. I can be moving, sitting around. So yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah, and then you're hanging out with your, like, your family, your cousin, mm-hmm. your nephew, having yeah. fun mm-hmm. with you.
Absolutely.
Okay, last question. Number seven, in 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
Ooh, a storyteller. And it's a little funny that I'm choosing storyteller over an athlete, but yeah, storyteller. I think that'll last a lot longer than being an athlete. And like I said, I like to make people feel things and see things differently and open up doors to conversation. So. Great storyteller. I don't even want to say script writer. I would love to say storyteller.
Man, that make me emotional. Surprisingly, I didn't expect it, but it's like you can walk into this next chapter in your life, and you're driven. You have talent, and I mean, yeah, I just see good things for you. I'm just, I don't know. That was
making you emotional. You're going to make me emotional. The last time I was emotional was at our rap party when people were saying how much they enjoyed it. So don't make me cry, please.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Like it was just so, I think it was so like, it was so pure. I think I could feel it was just very honest, very backed up. And I'm going to have to be watching what you're doing now. Like this is exciting. Yeah.
You're our first pro athlete that we've ever had on the show, actually.
I'm happy to be the first.
We have a lot of artists on. Yeah, but it was great talking to you. Yeah. So the final play, your movie opens, it's available on demand and on digital on May 27th.
Yep.
And I think you got a promising future. I think you're a natural actor, and I really truly
appreciate. Y'all don't understand how much that makes, like how good that makes me feel, because when I did this, one of my biggest insecurities was if I was going to be good at it. And for people to watch it and enjoy it. And one of the festivals we did was actually here in Atlanta, where I am now, to see people laugh in the moments that I'm writing, and I'm laughing as I'm writing because I'm envisioning their reaction, to see the reactions hit the way they did was very, very heart touching for me. So I appreciate you guys noticing and seeing that as well.
Yeah. Well, and welcome to the world of acting, where you will always be wondering, am I good enough? Am I?
Yeah.
To the world of insecurity. But yeah, we get a lot.
Yeah. Just that quote of like, do it afraid. Just do it anyway. Do it afraid.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very afraid.
Well, I know your people are gonna punch me soon if I don't get you off. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you guys.
So that was our interview with Jeremy Pargo.
Delightful.
Yeah. It's a very, very charming man.
Yeah. Really fun.
I hadn't told him. I got about almost half of the movie, quarter. It's a longer, like an hour, 49 minutes. But I wasn't, like, here's a weird thing I've discovered in the past.
It wasn't because you didn't want to watch it. It was just because of your time.
No, it's good. Well, time, and here's the thing.
That's why I'm just like,
but here's the issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I find I have a better interview if I haven't finished the movie yet. Because I'm all like, otherwise I'm so scared that I'm going to spoil the movie that I get afraid to talk about it too much. But I want to see enough to know the story, and I want to know how they're doing in it. And so I finish them sometimes, but I'm like, I really just feel like my interviews have gone better when I've only gotten a sense of the movie. And that way I'm like, well, I can't wait to see the rest now. Like, and so usually I'm probably going to go after we turn it off, I'm going to turn it back on and finish the movie. Cause, it was interesting. It's romantic. This is what I hate saying, Samantha, because I don't think it's becoming uncommon anymore, but because I used to say like, oh, it's so nice to see like a romantic film with black leads and a black cast. Like it was because it was unusual, but now it's feeling like it's not.
I mean, it could still be nice. I still don't see it a ton.
Like, right. And that's what's weird. It's like, I've so many times said, oh, it's so refreshing to finally see this. And I'm like, well, I've said that a lot now. So is it refreshing still?
Yes.
I mean, the large percentage of films are not mostly black films. Right. So, and I mean, I know we don't see color and everything. Right. But I noticed that. So, but it was nice. It's nice to see one that like a romantic, especially the genre romantic comedy. And it's not Madea, you know, no one's playing the clown. Like, I mean, there's funny parts in this. Like there's a really funny character in it. Do you ever feel like you see so many movies, you will forget the names of the characters after you?
Oh, yeah. I will sometimes watch so many things that then I won't be able to give that many details like a week after, but I'll remember how it made me feel.
Yeah.
Or I'll remember like certain, there's going to be like certain highlight moments or something like that. Yeah.
It's the names. It's the names of like all the side characters that I get like, okay. If I got into a discussion about it immediately after, then I can get with it and get the names. But I'm like, I watch far too much content now that if you're not hammering me with the name, I'll watch a series that I've seen. If I'm not saying the name out loud to somebody else constantly, I forget the names of the character names until somebody says it over and over again. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And that could be because I'm 51. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Well, I'm just thinking of like the genre of romantic comedies too, and like I very much enjoy the genre, but for some reason, well, okay, I will say I like that he was saying too about how he wants to make these tell these stories and make these movies where it does help couples to talk more and to improve their relationships, you know, and that people are being more conscious about that nowadays too. Because I don't know why I finally watched Moonstruck. It's not like a movie that you have to see from like a million years ago.
Snap out of it.
Yeah. And I'm just like, this movie is so problematic on so many levels. And for it to be considered, is it a romantic comedy or romantic drama or something?
Oh, romantic comedy. Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't see what's romantic about this other than like, well, they are matched for each other. There's so much wrong in that. That person would have been like a romantic.
Wait.
I mean, the whole thing was just so.
Wait, bleak. Which movie?
Moonstruck.
Oh, Moonstruck. Yeah, yeah.
Like a million years ago. I don't know why.
I don't remember what's wrong with it. I can't even remember anything except the snap out of it line.
She goes to the fiance, his mother is dying, and he wants the brother to attend the wedding, and he hasn't talked to the brother in 5 years. So she has to go talk to the brother because the fiance's out of, he's like, not there. He's visiting the dying mother. And then she meets the brother and they wind up falling for each other and sleeping together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's just, anyway, there's a lot of issues with the movie. So it's interesting to see like the ways in which romantic comedies have changed over the years. And, you know, the sort of dialogue that we had today about it. And also, I think I remember in the trailer, because I will confess, I didn't get a chance to see the movie just because.
Yeah, well, you didn't have a lot of
looking forward to it.
You didn't know he was coming as soon as I didn't know if he was going to I had no idea when it was going to happen. Yeah. And it just
suddenly, I had like less than 24 hours to have a chance to watch it.
I didn't realize they had sent me the link. They sent me the screener and I hadn't realized it. I thought because the initial email just had the trailer.
I didn't want to say it obviously in front of him. And I also didn't know if I should say it in this interview, like as we're talking about it. But then I'm like, oh, I'm not having very specific things to say.
Yeah.
So I'm just outing that. But I will be watching it and I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, I have a screener for you.
Yeah, I did see the trailer and I was also like, yeah, the whole sort of calling out the man boy behavior and just like, you know, women aren't going to be putting up with crap, or some women won't be putting up with crap. And I'm like, I'm excited to see how this goes. And it was well-timed to be watching it for sure. So I'm very interested in seeing the actual movie. And
plus I like supporting Black filmmakers of color, and seeing what, as they're going to, you know, the growth there. And I meant it. He's a natural actor. I couldn't believe he was like, wait, for real? He's like,
yeah,
this is a basketball player? How do you learn to act?
Man. And I, like, honestly,
it's kind of infuriating, honestly. It's like, I went to school for this and you're more natural than I am.
Well,
it's not like I can go play basketball. But he can just walk in and do what I do. He just walks in and does my profession.
I don't know. I feel that way when I see people. I don't know if I really feel that way if they're doing a good job acting. I think definitely I could feel jealousy if like, oh, they're getting more like roles and, you know, this is their whole career. And I feel like, oh, I've been after it for so long. But I wasn't. I mean, I guess the part for me, I was more moved by is like, you know, somebody who, you know, they made their own opportunity.
Yeah.
And I'm really thinking about that again a lot these days.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched an interview with Molly Shannon the other day, and I had no idea how hard she had to work to get into SNL. I had no idea. And it was just like very inspiring. So I've been thinking more about when I have more time and bandwidth once again to just like, you know, write stuff. I see if you want to write stuff
Yeah.
together, and like make stuff and just because I was just getting so depressed at the thought of never getting to have like the big acting career I wanted. And it was making me super depressed. Well, not super depressed, but you know, the way us actors can get.
Yeah.
And then I just had to remind myself, well, you know, two things. Like one, that's not my only dream in life. So I could also focus on other dreams I have that are more achievable right now. And then two, you know what? I can make my own show and submit it to festivals.
Yeah.
And that's something I can still do without like having to go to the gatekeepers. And so hearing him talk about some of this stuff and seeing him do it, given he's in a different position as with being,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe athlete and all of this stuff, but even still, like not even just like the purity of feeling that like feeling of this is what I want to do. This is what I feel like I'm meant to do. I'm going to write a thing and do it. And just, it was very inspiring.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, like, look, hopefully people can't tell on camera as much. I think in the podcast, they will, definitely will. I am trying to self-improve a little bit more. So I got the Invisalign done. And as some people might be able to hear, I have a slight lisp at some words. I like to think I'm more articulate. Maybe it's making me more articulate because I'm trying to overpronounce things. But
well, it wasn't really that noticeable to me.
Well, I did want a disclaimer for everybody to go, hey, yeah, I'm, if you hear a weird lisp occasionally, it's because I got this thing in. It's good to hear that people maybe not notice it.
I think if I was just listening and not looking at you, maybe I would notice it a little bit more.
Oh, can you see it?
No. It's just because when I see you, I'm just listening to you. Like Silas is talking, I'm not paying as much attention. Your voice quality and enunciation itself. But if I'm not looking at you and that's all I'm paying attention to, it's a little bit, maybe more.
I will say it has taught me about some vocal work though, because I would realize it will show up more depending on where the center of my voice is in my throat, like where it's coming from, the same way in which you, where you make the placement for an accent or something. I was telling my wife, oh, the more forward I have it, the less it's showing up. And naturally, even for my podcast, I don't walk around talking the way I am right now. I, for some reason, the second a microphone hits me in the studio, I get a podcasting voice that comes out and I start, it's my sort of performing, right? So it's, yeah, so it's all the little changes. I guess it's like an accent. I have a podcast accent, I think.
You have your podcast persona.
Yeah, my podcasting persona.
Yeah.
Hey, he seems a little nerdy, but fun.
Oh, my gosh. That was okay. Clearly, I got very excited about like, yes, Harry Potter and Marvel. Like, it was like, come back on the podcast again. We all have so much to talk about.
Yeah, I don't know why I still get excited when people say they're like, no, I'm a Marvel fan, but they're an athlete. I'm like, how is that possible? And then I'm like, oh, the film made like $4 billion. So everybody likes it. It's not just not just nerds, right?
I feel like maybe it's okay.
It's mainstream, right? Marvel's mainstream now. Harry Potter, not so much. Yeah. I mean, that it's big. Well, now it's definitely not as mainstream.
Right. Like Marvel's more mainstream now than.
Yeah.
And also for people who are older. Like, you know, it's less. Well, actually, yeah. I don't know. I know what I'm trying to say, but I have too many things I'm trying to say at once, and I'm just going to stop myself.
But I don't know. I still, anytime hearing an athlete say they like magical stuff or things like that, it's like, oh, it's not just us. It's not just nerds. It's not that can't play sports.
Oh, you know what? Actually, okay. I think it's because I did used to play sports. So I don't.
Wait, what did you play?
I mean, I did track and stuff.
I thought you said a sport.
Track is a sport.
There's no ball. You need a ball.
Okay, Silas, that's funny.
That's a George Carlin thing.
Oh, okay.
You gotta have a ball or a ball.
And I was pretty athletic.
You were athletic, yeah.
Athletic because theater was taking up so much time that I couldn't do both, and then from less practice I wasn't like placing as much. Anyway, there's only so much time in the day, but blah blah blah. I don't know.
So I'm trying to improve myself. If I can get one more job a year from my teeth being better or more standardized, it'll be worth it. Right? I just need to get more gigs. I'm self-conscious, so I might as well.
So I think that's the biggest thing, because for me, I'm kind of like, F, I don't want to say F the industry, but you never know, even know what the industry
is. You've got perfect teeth.
I don't, but thank you. Well,
they look perfect.
Well, the top is really good. The bottom, I think we talked about it before, because I have all my wisdom teeth, and so the bottom have been pushed together. So.
Okay, well, top teeth are all that matter anyway.
Okay.
Right?
Well, thanks.
It's the top.
I mean, I have done like a toothpaste commercial.
Yeah, if you do toothpaste, yeah, I want to be eligible for the toothpaste commercial. That's what I want.
But what I'm saying is, I never personally, I ever looking at your teeth and being like, Silas, get your teeth fixed. I don't remember ever being judgy about your teeth.
Yeah.
But if it makes you feel uncomfortable and you feel more confident, then okay.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well,
good. Make yourself feel better. But my point is, like, don't do it for the industry.
But
because we're confident, it probably will like result in.
Because then I'll be smile. I'll like not be afraid to smile. Won't have to do all my smiles without my teeth. Yeah. So trying to self-improve in that sense, you know, besides the.
Same. I think life is, when one is aware, you're always in some process of it. And I think, my form of self-improvement, I think it is not apologizing as much and taking up a bit more space, which is funny because I always felt like on stage, very comfortable to take up space. But I think in regular life, I'm just more like my desire and how much I like to be polite sometimes will outweigh just, I don't know if I'm making sense. I just like being a bit more bolder.
Yeah.
Like not like worrying about so much about what everybody else needs. I mean, still caring about them, but I kind of skew a little bit more towards caring too much about what other people need and not enough about what I need.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hear you. Yeah. No. Yeah. It's nice to see somebody getting at it too, you know, just getting at it. He's going for it.
I know.
I'm surrounded by neighbors that aren't, you know, they're just not getting at it. They're like, they won't even go to they're so busy. Cause like they don't like their garden is the most they get at it. Right. They do their garden. Right. They might.
Well, I was going to say, I think the thing is, what is it that you want to get at? Because sometimes, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know.
Getting at what I want to be getting at.
That's what I was trying to say. Yes, exactly. I feel, and that's where, again, like I say, when I totally am going to be like, Silas, let's like make something else again, please. Cause
it's the, and maybe it's, maybe that's envy or whatnot, but most of my neighbors, I do not envy what they do at all or what they're doing.
Maybe it doesn't have to be envy.
They don't envy. They don't inspire me. Yeah, write nothing in their life. But then I hear something like that and I'm like, yeah, you get that. Go.
I know.
Go get it. Even if I don't get it, I want you to get it. I want someone I know that I like to get it.
And who's working for it. And
even people that didn't like me as much as I like them, maybe, you know, like I'm like the comedian Kelsey Cook. She's from Seattle. I see her everywhere now. And I tried to get her on the show once. She didn't have time when she was visiting in town. She wasn't as big as she is now. But like I booked her for a show before. And I like to go like, oh, I liked her. Like, I don't think she disliked me. I just don't think she had any feelings toward me whatsoever. Like, no, I think she's very indifferent, but I chatted with her, but I'm like, I see that she's getting it. And I'm like, I'm so excited for her. She's so like, I'm so happy that she's getting to do what she wanted to do.
I think we're in we're adjacent. We're feeling adjacent in the way. Like, is that the
me and you?
I'm looking for adjacent. Like, I feel some of what you're feeling, but not entirely. Like,
no,
I feel like, I can't go after it in the way that I used to go after it, the way that I know how to go after it. I can't do that anymore. It has to be a little bit different. And, but I'm also noticing that I'm starting to get that fire back of like, yes, I want to go after it. I want to still have my dreams. I want to like still do these things, which to me is like, that's great because it means I'm doing better than I was like a year ago when I couldn't even think of that stuff. Right. Because of life's
right.
circumstances. So, but I'm also trying, I also want to have this clarity of what exactly is it that I want to go after? And then what is my priority? And then how can I go after it? Because I know that I can't go after it in the way that I used to go after it. And that sometimes makes me feel like I can't go after it at all. And it's like, no, I still can, but it has to be different. Like, there's no way that I could go after it the way that I used to go after it without being a completely terrible mother. And that is not something I'm willing to do. I can go after it the way I used to go after it like 18 years. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's got to be a little bit different. I'm figuring out that process.
A different kind of mother.
Oh, no. Not I mean, right now, there's no way because the way I used to go after it before, it was 100%. It was, do I need to leave at any moment? I didn't have a good sense of balance and I sacrificed too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so yeah, that's why it's frustrating that I didn't get to where I wanted to think I needed to go because of how much I sacrificed and how much I was in it. But it's like, okay, whatever, you know, I'm not whatevering it. I'm like, that skill's still there. All of that's still there, but I'm here now.
Oh, like when you just went and did Macbeth.
Oh man.
Right. Like one day you're like, yeah, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to go to do Macbeth.
I loved it. It was so great. Yeah. Because I didn't have, you know what it was? I didn't need to have stability. Now I need to have stability.
Yeah.
I didn't need to be concerned for anybody else's well-being because I wasn't in charge of anybody else. I mean, yes, their well-being in terms of like being a good person, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
But I do firmly believe there's ways. Like I do, I've seen over my years how I went for it has had to change.
Mm-hmm.
It has to when you're in relationships and anything, and that happens. So like it will always evolve how you're going for it.
Yes.
But also the world has changed around us on how you can go for it and what you can get out of it. Like you can't even. Watching one actor, how he said he stopped doing film because it was useless. Like he started doing TV because he's like, because of micro indie budgets now.
Who said that?
I forget his exact name, but
but
he stopped trying to do films because he's like, they're paying $100 a day.
Yeah.
To do these little indie films. He's like, I can't live off that. You used to be able to do one film and it would hold you over. But now even the budgets. And the way with the near end of DVD sales,
yeah,
it's really changed the economics of how anything works, right?
Well, and yes, and okay, 100% to what you're saying about it evolves also because of the world. Because too, there's the other part of me that's like, there are so many concerns about the world right now. There's like, what's going on with AI? What's going on the government, like there's so many other things that are completely out of our hands.
Yeah.
So yes, 100% to what you're saying that like it evolves, it has to evolve. And I think that's where I mean, I guess what I mean a little bit like adjacent, because I feel like there's still so many things in my world in flux evolving and blah, 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 that I know that I want to go after it again. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
But I also am like, I have no idea. How is that going to go?
I'm 51 and I'm learning guitar. Like, I'm acting like I'm 30 and just like, oh, what could I do to build some skills for the, like, it's ridiculous.
That's good. It's good for your brain. It's going to help you stay young.
Hopefully. Well, better.
No, real. Like learning, that's going to help your cognitive.
Yeah. I know. I know. But I also know it also, it can be, I have a limited number of years that I'll be able to do it. You know, your hands just, hand strength just goes.
Yeah, but also how much practice are you doing? Because like you do see, like I do see these 100-year-olds. I'm like, I need to do fitness every day. But I do, you see them and they're like moving around. I saw this 100-year-old man who's driving a car. You'd love that. Oh. But he gets on his bicycle and he does his like 15 minutes every day and he does a little bit of weights and he's 100 and he can actually drive himself places. Because he freaking takes amazing care of his body.
Yeah. But I mean, there are just little things like your joints get, they're harder to do things. It's harder to do some things. And I'm starting so old, I may not have time to build in the strength that you need for that before to counteract the.
But by the time you're 100, they'll be like.
100, I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not worried about playing when I'm 100. I'm worried about playing. If I can play for 15 years, it would be amazing.
And man, I don't know. I mean, you hear me talking about how I'm so afraid of this, that, and the other thing and blah, 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 because of paying attention to the news and whatnot. But then there's definitely this other side of me that's like, well, when I'm 100, I just say it like, obviously I'm going to be 100. I'm going to be gardening and like.
Well, my grandma was 100. So I believe, I know it's possible in my genes. So. It's not totally unrealistic, but I recognize that if there's some things I want to do, I need to get at it and I need to do it because time is a ticking.
I understand.
I thought I'd be dead now. So I'm like, cause I thought 50 was like as old as you could pretty much be. Right. That's when I was younger.
Oh, okay.
That was like my grandparents' age. Well, 50. Yeah, so old.
I mean, when you're young, you don't really. Yeah, my daughter, she thinks I'm 10. She thinks I'm 10. So I understand why you would have thought like 50 was like.
Yeah, you seem 10.
Yeah.
Sounds right. Sounds good. My kids know how old I am and they remind me constantly. Like, and if I try to say I'm a different age, they will go, no, Dad, you are 51.
Oh, I thank tell you, I need to practice because on my 50th birthday, and I really hope I remember this, I've always said I wanted to do the Mary Catherine Gallagher. Well, she wasn't Mary Catherine for that one, but the like kick at 50 and she stretches. I want to do that when I'm 50. So I need to make sure I'm still like doing enough yoga and stuff so that I can. She does some pretty good.
Yeah, I need to stretch. I need to stretch more. I do the weightlifting, but I'm not as, I do the stretching before and after, but I need to do more stretching. Just a daily stretch kind of thing. Improvement. Got 26 weeks on these and then I can focus on the rest of my body. Yeah. I mean, I will in the meantime, but, anyhow, hey, so that was our interview, huh?
That was our if you made your sound like it. Oh, okay.
That was our interview. That was good. Gonna stay with us. It was way more fun than I imagined. I don't know. You know, you never know when you meet people.
Know.
You never know.
Yeah.
You know. And but that was a good one.
Yeah.
So you know what? I think we it was a nice interview. It was like an alley oop. Was like nice and easy. It was a layup.
You're saving the basketball jokes for the very end.
Yeah. We shot and we scored.
Yeah. I mean, I played basketball very badly. Never on a real team.
You know? Yeah. Oh, I was horrible.
No.
I was horrible. But. But it's about improvement.
You ever see that movie where they did a terrible spoof making up right now? We could make this a sketch. Nobody will watch it except for us, maybe. But it's Air Bud. It's Air Bud, but instead of a dog, It is a kid, or no, it has to be an adult, right? Because of this. They always want to play basketball, but they're so bad at it. And what they do is they get high in order to get high. Air Bud 420 edition. Coming out on 420.
Is there a movie about a group of people who want to play something but are just so bad at it?
I mean,
and like they go to improve and they just don't improve.
Let's make it. I don't know.
That seems more realistic.
Yeah.
Oh, and then they put a team together and they finish last because you know what? They should have started when they were younger.
That's just.
Is it? They say this fall. They say you're never too late to try a new thing. They were wrong.
They say that just so they can laugh at you. You're never too late, but always hilarious.
Don't quit your day job this fall.
Get ready this fall. Get ready to fall.
I love. Did you ever see the movie Punchline? Not with Tom Hanks. I think it's called Punchline. I might have the title wrong right now, but Punchline, Sally Field and Tom Hanks. She's a stand-up. He's a stand-up comedian and she's a wannabe stand-up comedian. And what's his name? Roseanne Barr's from Arnold? No, her TV husband.
Yeah.
What's his name? Who was in The Big Lebowski?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. King Ralph. I remember. Whatever his name is, he's in it too. He plays the husband of her. I haven't seen that in forever, and I do actually want to go watch it again to see now that I've done stand up comedy, is it like that was. Like, is it an accurate reflection upon?
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch. Yeah.
I mean, it takes place in New York, so I won't get a full, maybe I might understand, right, how it is. Since I've only did comedy in a third tier city. So, do you know Seattle doesn't even get, like, some of these movie screenings? We don't get them until the day before. And, like, New York gets them. New York, Chicago, LA, they all get them a week before and they send it to us like right before it opens. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Sometimes we just don't even
experience.
If they don't think the movie's going to be huge, sometimes they don't even send it out here to screen. They're just like, nah, we're going to skip Seattle. You're like, thanks. Because that extra $400 to screen the movie for you would have really hurt you. Great. So that's it. Anyway, to end on a positive note, I feel like that I should have got a technical for that. Wow. I need more basketball jokes, clearly. I'm gonna have to go ask Alexa.
Alexa, or,
wait, do you have an Alexa?
No, I
don't. Oh, okay.
Oh, because I said Alexa, like there's an.
Yeah,
no, you I'm said Alexa. Ready for my next Alexa commercial. Alexa.
Did you do one?
No, not yet.
I've done one. I did an Echo. I did the my kitty lamp commercial.
That's very cool. Yeah, I think I saw it. No, I
probably did.
No, years I don't ago. Think I. No, I just did. No. Mm-mm.
No.
No. Man. I'm hyped. Now I'm like amped and I want to make stuff. I think what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to write like my year plan for this year and then for next year. Because I think, yeah, maybe in 2 years I can go after this a little bit more. But having it in writing to know that, I think that'll make me feel better. Because right now it feels a little bit like, you know, I suppose when you're maybe like a race car driver and you're just like revving it, but you can't go anywhere yet. Like, I just feel like I'm excited, but like, I still gotta wait. So anyway, we'll be talking more on this. And
and it'll be a slam dunk.
Black and a half.
Black and a half.